Ladies and gentlemen, we present The Lady Lark, written by Lori Wyman and George Evans, and starring Leslie Phillips, Stephen Murray, and John Pertwee. All husbands constantly ask themselves, are you a man or a mouse? Well, in my house, I'm definitely a man. What's more, I can prove it, because I'm the one who wears the trousers. I come to think we both do, but my trousers are trendier than hers. And if you're listening, darling, just for a change, take them off before I get home.
Sexy swine.
Mr. Phillips, sir?
Yes, Chief?
Yeah, Mrs. Morgan is right about women wearing trousers, sir. I for one, can remember when Pertwee enjoyed whistling at the lower walking about the pertinences of ladies of the opposite sex.
Your old-fashioned thing. Don't you realize, Chief, that trousers for ladies is the current fashion?
Ah, fashion. Now, there's an interesting word. They gave the derivation of it in my comic last week.
Yes, I thought they would, sir.
No. It's jolly interesting. Now, fashion, when it's broken up into bits, means F.A. As in Fanny Adams, which can be pronounced far, meaning a long way off, or after do, re, mi. And then shh, as in you know who, which leaves us with yun. Yun. In Scottish, it's pronounced Ian, as in Carmichael. But in English, it's pronounced iron, as in that heavy thing you use to press your drip-dry, non-Carmichael shirts with.
I see, sir. So, according to your comic, Mr. Phillips, the word fashion means, from a long way off, Fanny Adams is not only after the dough from Ray and you, but also after Ian Carmichael's you-know-what with a heavy thing.
Exactly.
Now, unfortunately, all men aren't like me. They are mice in their own homes. Captain Povey is one. In fact, Captain Povey is even a failure as a mouse. He hasn't had nibble at home for years. He's on his way to consult Chief Petty Officer Pertwee aboard Troutbridge for a solution to his marital problem, i.e. his wife.
Ahoy there! Hey! You, Goldstein! Leading seaman, Goldstein, if you don't mind.
Oh, dear, you, how did you get on board without being spotted?
Because, as usual, there was nobody on duty at the top of the gangplank to spot me. Now, what are you doing loafing about on the deck?
I love you know, sir, I wasn't loafing at all. I was having a ponder about the Rhonda.
Well, stop pondering and start polishing.
Polishing what, sir?
Anything.
I see. I start with the top of your head.
What is that?
I said I'll start and go right ahead, sir.
Good. Now, where's CPO Pertwee?
Chief, I think he's in the wardroom, sir, with the rest of the foreigners.
Oh, thank heavens I've caught him, sir. It's vital I see him at once.
Yes, sir. Oh, and if they ask you to have a Scotch, say you'd rather have a Welsh.
Yes, what is it? Oh, blimey, I'm thundercuts. Good morning, Captain Bowie, sir.
What a lovely surprise.
Now, Chief, come. It's vital I see you alone.
Is it?
I'm in a terrible predicament, and I need your help.
Oh, my condolences, I'm sure, sir. But hard luck, I'm skint myself.
Who is it, Chief?
The Thundergast. Good to see you, Captain Thunder. Povey. Come in, sir. Welcome to the wardroom.
Thank you very much. Nice to see you, Captain Thundergast. Will you call, sir?
Won't you sit down, sir?
Well, to tell you the truth, gentlemen, I rather wanted to have a word with the Chief. I know.
Oh, blimey, now what have I done? I mean, there are no secrets here, sir. I mean, any converse wish to have with me can be conversed in front of my superior acquaintanceships and boats. Besides, in the past, witnesses have come in handy.
No. You don't understand. This is all rather... Oh, very well. They might be able to help them. You see, I've got this friend of mine in trouble.
Dirty old devil, yeah.
No, nothing like that.
Well, sir, if it's not money and not Pudding Club,
whatever is it? Well, you see, this friend of mine was on his wife's bike.
He was what?
Captain Pervick, this friend of yours, what's he like?
Would we know him at all, sir?
Is he in the service? Well, sort of. Quite important, really. He's a tall chap and athletically built. Good-looking, in a mature way.
hair receding? A little. And extremely popular with the...
It's you!
Silence! Any more of this mickey-taking and I'll...
Captain Pogey, sir, may one inquire what your friend, for instance you, has done on his wife's bike?
Well, if you must know, the dockyard police have reported me for speeding and careless peddling.
Yes.
Ooh, what a load of highly unfortunate. Ooh, it's got to look bad in the national press on an headline. Senior naval officer accused of going berserk on a lady's bike.
Oh, no. Please, this mustn't happen. Oh, Chief. Chief, I realize we may have had our little differences in the past, but surely bygones can be bygones. I mean, couldn't you fix have a word with the dockyard police and ask them to forget the whole thing so that my wife Ramona doesn't find out that I pinched the bicycle that Ramona's mother gave her on her 12th birthday. You see, I was a bit late this morning, and I nipped into the Ramona paid-for shed at the bottom of our garden.
Now we're getting down to the nitty-gritty.
Good gracious, where did Noddy pick that phrase out?
Never mind him. Can you help me to get off this charge?
I've got an idea. Why don't you write to Uncle Algy?
Who?
Well, he's the chap who gives advice on page 14 of my Junior Astronauts Weekly. Look, here's one here, look. Dear Uncle Algy, I'm 16 and a half and live in Penge, and I'm a fully-fledged member of your Blast-Off Club. My girlfriend, Lucy, has just found out that I put her into orbit. So what the 5-4-3-2-1 am I going to do? No, you're absolutely right. It wouldn't work, would it? No.
Captain Povey, it seems to me that perhaps there is another way of tackling your problem.
Yes, yes.
Well, with due respect, sir, the basic snag here is that you may be a captain in the Royal Navy, but with due respect again, sir, you are not captain in your own home, sir. What I was getting at, sir, is that I happen to have an Aunt Elvira who is extremely good at getting people like yourself out of the proverbial.
Ah, yes, yes.
Now, if I spoke of the fortuitous, she's appearing in a tent for one day only at the Gosportham Avenue Annual General Carnival. Now, if you like, I'll have a word with her about your country, Tom Paulson. Oh.
Gentlemen, but which is the tent containing Madame Elvira, the world-famous hypnotist? Hey?
Oh, it's the tiny one with the dance in the side. It's on the right-hand side of Atlantia, the totally nude, provocative, primitive, naked lady encased in an iceberg for centuries unknown to man.
Tom.
Not at all. But you'll have to wait, mate. Madame Elvira, the world-famous hypnotist, has got our first customer of the day with her. So start a queue. Tom.
Oh, Madame Elvira, I do need your help. You see, I'm a failure with women. There was my Amy lounging sensuously back on my mother's settee, tormenting me with her half-closed eyelids.
Spare no detail, Mr. Everard. Remember, I am a woman too.
I've read this book, you see, so I covered my dearest love with kisses and rose petals from head to foot.
Oh, gracious, stinky with it. Don't spare my maidenly blushes. Reveal all, Mr. Everard.
I did. Yes, I did. I put my teacup down, and just as I was about to embrace my dearest love...
Yes, yes.
Well, it happened.
Oh, strike a match on me, Ria. Don't tell me your flaming mother came home.
Yes, she did.
Oh, piss case over, Virgil. There goes another chapter from my memoirs. Never mind, young man. Madame Elvira will put a smile back on your mush in no time. Now then, keep your eyes on me, dangler. And repeat after me. I'm terribly tired and I want to go to sleep.
I'm terribly tired, and I want to... Good night.
This choice is a pushover. You will forget Amy and her kinky rose petals.
I've forgotten Amy and her kinky rose petals.
You will totally forget that you are going to insist on giving me £25 for my services now.
I insist on giving you £25 for your services.
Thank you. Wake up, Mr. Everard.
Oh, my word. I feel better. I congratulate you, Madam Elvira. Your dangler has done wonders. I've completely forgotten the kinky rose petals, my mother turning up, your £25, and Amy. In fact, I've never heard of anybody called Amy. I can't thank you enough. I insist on paying you £25. There you are. Once in love with Amy.
Next.
What's your auntie? It's me, Johnsy.
Oh, Virgo over Piskies. Oh, well, you can't win them all, I'm close.
Hold it, hold it, hold it. I may be a relative, but I'm also a cash customer.
Oh, welcome, dear Johnsy. As you can see, business is not what it was.
I'll come off it, auntie. At 50 quid an idiot, what a day'll do.
The fact that Mr. Everard insisted on paying me twice was entirely his idea.
Yeah, prompted by you. Now, listen to me, you old charlatan. I've got a job for you. Oh. It concerns Mrs. Thunderguts.
Just relax and concentrate on Miss Winging Dangler.
Oh, no, you don't. Oh, no, you... Oh, listen, I haven't forgotten what happened last time I concentrated on your dangler. For the next 6 months, I couldn't understand why I insisted on giving you all my wages and my fiddle money.
Oh, my poor old ticker. Johnsy, it's all of a flutter, Johnsy. I'm going, Johnsy.
Go on, then.
I think I'd better leave and have a little bit of a lie down.
Oh, my dear, yeah. Don't bother me. I'm about to snuff it. Don't bother, dear. You listen to me, you old boot. Tomorrow night, you're going to Captain Povey's house as the imaginary Dame Elvira Fortescue, who is the imaginary president of the imaginary Return to Purity and Down with Filth League.
Am I?
You are. Now, once inside, get your dangler out and hippopotamatize the only too horribly real Mrs. Povey.
Henry Povey, I'm quite mad.
What is it, Ramona, my love?
Oh, thank you to stop standing on the top of my Ramona paid-for vacuum cleaner, scooting it about over my Ramona paid-for carpet, and pretending you're a Formula One driver at Brands Hatch.
But I'm observing all the safety precautions, Ramona, my love.
And don't think you got away with it yesterday.
Got away with what, my love?
I'm not a fool, no. I noticed that your little bicycling clips weren't in the safe. I should never have let you see my combinations. I might have known that you'd remember them.
Once seen, never forgotten. I mean, I can't think what you're...
Don't you snap at me, Henry Povey. I saw the telltale marks of my dear mother's bicycle leading from my Ramona paid-for shed to my Ramona paid-for garden gate. In any case, I have evidence from the paperboy, the postman, the milkman, and the baker, that they all saw you zigzagging down the road, kicking the back of the mudguard, shouting, Yahoo! Wagons roll! And thumbing my dear mother's tinkle-tinkle.
Oh, dear. I thought I'd look like Roy Rogers.
Everybody else thought you looked like a complete idiot. Now then, finish tidying up. Dame Elvira Fortescue and other members of the Committee of the Return to Purity and Down with Filth League will be here at any moment.
Oh, yes, of course. Yes. Thank you, Chief. I wish your Aunt Elvira would turn up soon. I'm frozen to the marrow hanging about on this corner waiting for her.
Oh, she'll be here, sir. She'll be up, but I agree with you, sir, apart from having to touch the brass monkeys. Captain and Mrs. Povey's semi-detached isn't the prettiest view to gawk at when you've got the wind behind you.
Gosh, I am proud of belonging to the Return to Purity and Down with Filth League.
Mr. Phillips, I thought we'd explained that several times in the bus here. There is no such league. It's just imaginary.
I can hardly wait to meet Dame Elvira Fortescue.
Mr. Phillips, there is no such person as Dame Elvira Fortescue. She's imaginary. Like you.
Now, don't interrupt. This is important. If we get on well with Dame Elvira, why don't we suggest we start a branch campaigning against violence on television?
Oh, dear. I knew it was a mistake to let him in on your scheme, Chief. He only gets half the idea. It's always the wrong half.
No. This violence has got to be stopped. There was this program I saw the other night. I mean, it was revolting. Yeah, revolting. Honestly. No, revolting. If I hadn't been enjoying it so much, I'd have turned it off. There were these two chaps in disguise and wearing fancy dress masks so that nobody could see who they really were. Anyway, they were in this house, you see, but neither of them were certain that the other was there. But we, that's the other viewers and myself, knew that these two chaps hated each other so much, they wanted to kill each other. Then, that's them, each other, you see, not me and the other viewers, you see.
Yeah, Mr. Money Service. Look, that may be Aunt Elvira's taxi now.
No, it's turned off down the hill.
Suddenly, into the kitchen, they confront each other, and the bigger chap chases the smaller chap with his eyes blazing. And just as he's about to catch him by the throat, he trips over a rolling pin and smashes himself against the wall. Gosh, it was terrifying. The amazing thing is, he didn't seem to hurt himself.
I think your aunt's forgotten. She
knows. No. She wouldn't dare.
Then the smaller chap, still in his fancy dress, finds a crane handy and picks the big chap up and drops him over the side of the mountain. Down he goes, bouncing off rock after rock until he lands where the sea would have been if the tide hadn't suddenly gone out. Now, whilst he's picking himself up, the little one, you know, he's still in fancy dress, you see, at the top of the mountain. He suddenly notices this barrel of TNT, and with superhuman strength, he picks it up, lights the fuse, and hurls it down onto the head of the bigger chap, where it explodes. It was sickening to watch. Sickening. Anyway, after the bigger chap, who was still in his fancy dress, had shaken himself and pulled himself together, the little chap, loaded this cannon and took aim.
Yeah, they were hang about. Wait a minute. Look, I watch the box every night, but I don't remember this film. Who was in it?
Two chaps called Tom and Jerry.
Oh, shut up.
No, it's got to be stopped.
Excuse me.
What?
Well, I do live here. And you are denting my hedge.
Oh, I'm frightfully sorry, Mr.
Samson.
Well, you could have fooled me.
Actually, we're going to have a meeting next door in Captain and Mrs. Povey's house of the Return to Purity and Down with Filth League. We're waiting for the president, Dame Elvira Fortescue.
Really? I joined at once as soon as I saw the poster in Mrs. Povey's window.
Such a good cause.
Look here, as it's you, lean on my hedge as much as you like. Do you know, I think we should start a splinter group against violence.
You see, I told you I was right. I'm not a complete clot. I said I'm not a...
We heard you. We're just trying to think of a reasonable argument.
Well, I, for one, think Blondie's right. I switched on the box the other night and I was totally revulsed. You wouldn't believe it, honestly. I'd have switched off if I hadn't been enjoying it so much. The commentator's words are engraved in my memory. In goes Strong, swinging a right at Walker, who ducks and counters with a left to the... And I tell you, I nearly turned off right then. Back comes Strong, weaving from side to side, swinging desperate lefts and rights. Some of them looked uncomfortably low. But Walker neatly sidesteps his opponent, jabs out a left, follows through with a right, and another left and another right, and Strong is down.
Gosh, how awful.
Strong? Walker? I don't remember that boxing match.
toxic match. And don't be daft. It was the semi-final of the FA Cup.
Hello. Hello, all. Sorry I missed. I have an urgent appointment with Mr. Everard. He said he'd forgotten to pay me.
Blimey, we wonder where you got to, Archie. We're frozen. Oh, by the way, this is Mr. Sampson.
Oh, how do you do, Mr. Sampson? My word, what a lovely head. Now, just watch me, Dangler, and repeat after me. I insist on donating 25 knickers to me.
Not now, Auntie. Now, not now. We're half an hour late for the Povis' tea. Nice to meet you, Mr. Sampson. Keep growing your head, sir.
Meeting to order! Silence, or I shall sing! Right. Mug forward if you want the last delicious dregs of Ramona's specially prepared cocoa.
After you. Anyone?
No, thanks. No. The first half pint has just landed.
We'll soon be on the way out.
Now then, who is for the last mock sardine and tomato ketchup sandwich?
Captain Bowie.
Good boy. Waste not, want not. Now eat quickly and quietly. It's time the first meeting of the Return to Purity and Down with Filth League started. Johnsy, you're a ruddy marvel. She's swallowed all this old gut, hook, line, and dangler.
Up with Purity and down with Tom and Jerry.
Johnsy, what's this plot talking about?
Don't worry, Auntie. He swallowed it too. You're in the clear. Look, take the lot of them, and we'll split it down the middle.
Right. I'll take half, and the other 50% for me.
Johnsy, hang on a minute.
I must admit, Dame Elvira, I can't keep my eyes off your dangler.
Neither can I, my love.
Henry Purvis, I shan't warn you again. Oh, never mind. Never mind him, Mrs. Povey. Just watch me dangler as it goes to and fro, to and fro.
To and fro, to and fro.
You are getting sleepy.
We are getting sleepy.
Been nighting bloomers, I've hit the jackpot. They're all been used by me dangler. Now, say after me.
Say after you.
When I wake up, I shall insist on paying you 25 knickers or whatever valuables you have on your person.
When we wake up, we shall insist on paying you 25 knickers or whatever valuables we have on our person.
oh, dear, it's like talking to a load of Daleks.
Who?
Quiet, Doctor, you've got a one-track mind. So wake up, everybody, except Mrs. Povey, and hand over. Mrs. Povey will become a slave and regard her husband as her sultan. Right? Wakey, wakey.
Oh, gosh, you are tired. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry I dropped off like that, Dame Elvira. Here's my £25.
Oh, yes, I was forgetting, yes. Here's my Donald Duck watch.
Sorry, Artie. Sorry, but I'm skint. Well, all I've got in my pocket, which you're more than welcome to, is an half-chewed mock sardine tomato ketchup sandwich.
Here's my 2 new pence pocket money, Dame Elvira. But did it work?
Of course. You are now her sultan, and she is your slave. She will do everything you command.
Oh, good. Henry is the sultan. Henry is the sultan. Right, Ramona, my slave. Disrobe immediately.
Oh, nasty.
Come on, come, Ramona, my slave. Get up them stairs.
Oh, you wanton, depraved thing. Henry Povey, have you gone mad? Blast. I knew I'd come a cropper one day. Well, I'd better be off now. There'll be a queue outside my tent.
What tent?
What tent? Wait. I knew I'd seen you somewhere before. You sucked. You're not Dame Elvira at all. You're Madam Elvira in the mended tent.
Sorry to interrupt. But as Dame Elvira is still here, just remember that I must insist on paying her 25 knicker to her call.
Oh, thank you.
My pleasure. Anytime.
No, dear, all the time now. Concentrate on me, dangler.
Evening, all.
Would I be right in assuming that I'm proceeding in the direction of Captain Povey's sitting room?
Certainly not. It is my Ramona paid for sitting room. Whom do you want, Constable?
Him. The captain who's sitting in the corner with his eyes closed and chanting, Henry's a sultan, Henry's a sultan. And that's something I'll be looking into later. Now, there's already been reports of impurity and filth in this area.
Oh, how dare you!
I wouldn't, madam, but it looks as if you were all about to. However, for starters, I'll charge the sultan with speeding and dangerous peddling on a lady's bicycle.
What?
Now then, about this wife swapping party.
You are making a dreadful mistake, Constable. Watch me dangler. To and fro, to and fro.
To and fro, to and fro.
Now say after me.
Say after you.
25 knickers to Elvira and anything else of value you happen to have on your person.
25 knickers to Elvira and anything else I happen to have on my person.
Including your anger!
Leslie Phillips, Stephen Murray and John Pertwee have been hypnotized in The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman and George Evans. Leslie Phillips was the sub-lieutenant, Stephen Murray was the CO, John Pertwee was the chief petty officer, Captain Purvey was played by Richard Caldicott, Mrs. Purvey was Heather Chasen, EDC with Goldstein was Daniel Evans, Eric Everard was Michael Bates, and the ship's company again gave a special welcome to June Whitfield as Madam Elvira. The show was produced by Alistair Scott Johnston.
Leslie.